to turn to 119th Psalm. Been looking at a life that we're calling the blessed life. We see that in verses 1 and 2. So far, we've looked at this in sections. We've seen that it's a life, well, first of all, that we're called to live and responsible to live and can live. We see that it's a life shaped by conviction concerning God. You will not live this life if you do not have conviction concerning God. We saw also that it's a life shaped by conviction concerning God's Word. That, of course, goes hand in hand with our conviction concerning God. We've also seen that it's a life shaped by a realization of our own self. We see that it's a life shaped by spiritual determination. That is, the one who lives this life is determined to strive after the spiritual things. We've, last several weeks, seen that it's a life shaped by spiritual longings or spiritual desires. The last section that we'll look at is a life shaped by spiritual experiences. The blessed life, we see in the 119th Psalm, the psalmist uses the words, I have. I have. We've looked at his language. He'll say, I will. That shows his determination. I have. And then that is followed by an act or an experience. I have. The blessed life is a life of spiritual activity. It is a life of spiritual participation. It is a life of spiritual involvement. It is a life exposed to God, to the things of God. It is a life exposed to spiritual matters. It, of course, is a very full life. Life in general, of course, is filled with a variety of experiences. But the blessed life gleans and learns spiritual truth from life's experiences. The blessed life realizes God puts me through such and such an experience to learn such and such a spiritual truth. That's the blessed life. The blessed life, from all our the experiences of general life, grows spiritually from those experiences. The one who lives the blessed life is a happy individual. And the reason they're happy is because of what they experience. You can't help but be happy living this life. It is a life of wonderful, wonderful experiences. You and I experience things that the lost world knows nothing about. And many of those experiences should not just be an occasional experience. Should be an ongoing experiences. What we want to look at tonight is the blessed life is living in the experience of an inward stirring for God. One who lives a blessed life, their heart is stirred by God and for God. Notice in verse 10, with my whole heart have I. There it is again, have I, or I have. With my whole heart have I sought thee. So he's talking about something that he has done. He's talking about and experience. With my whole heart have I sought thee. What we're mostly interested in tonight are those words, with my whole heart. That is, with my entire, full, and complete heart have I sought thee. So with my whole heart is, those words are descriptive of the manner and degree of the action being seeking God. The degree in which he sought God with my whole heart. That speaks of an intensity. That speaks of a passion. It speaks of a fervor, an eagerness of heart. But it also speaks of an emotion of the heart. You do something with your whole heart, there's an emotion involved in that. So many times, God's people serve God without emotion. If a heart's in it, there's emotion. And he says, with my whole heart. So this is an emotional experience. Have I sought thee? So those words with my whole heart are descriptive of the manner and the degree of the action. It speaks of an expenditure of energy. An energy that comes from the heart. Not just an energy that comes from the mind, but it is an energy that comes from the heart, and it's all for God. It's all for God. With my whole heart. Now, we know our nature. Again, we see the part of this life as being aware of ourself. And we know that if we're going to do anything spiritually with our whole heart, that of course implies that God has worked in the heart. Because we're not going to do it unless God works in the heart. So with my whole heart automatically implies a working of God in the heart. It implies a heart that has been stirred by God. How often should our hearts be stirred by God? All the time. We ought to live in that realm. Our hearts ought to be continually stirred by God. This is not a stirring that you get over. This is not a stirring that you can just put to the side and go on to other things. This is something that impacts your entire life. So the blessed life consists of God calling of heart. It's God creating an excitement in our heart. It is God inspiring, not in the same way that scriptures are inspired. It's God inspiring our hearts. It is God provoking our hearts. God stimulating and arousing the heart of a child of God. And the blessed life consists of this God-stirred heart. Again, we're not just talking about an occasional experience. This is something that is ongoing. This stirred heart causes the child of God to personally experience a compelling and driving passion and fervor and yearning and hunger and thirst and craving. An eagerness for God. A God-stirred heart is a heart that is zealous for God. It is a heart that is willing for God. Psalm 110 and verse 3 says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." You read in the book of Exodus, it speaks of a willing heart. Those who gave for the tabernacle, they were to do so with a willing heart. How did their hearts become willing? God's power. A stirring. God stirring. God working in their hearts. So, a stirred heart for God, a God-stirred heart, is a willing heart. We see that also in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It's God that works in. Now the characteristics. What are the characteristics of a God-stirred heart? You and I know by experience, or we ought to, when God is stirring our hearts, when God is causing a movement within our hearts. That ought to be our life. That ought to be our life. And if it is, that's a blessed life. That's a wonderful life. Again, you can't talk to this about a lost person. They have no clue what you're talking about. Sadly, many of God's people have no clue what you're talking about. But there are certain characteristics of a God stirred heart. Notice over in Psalm 63. Psalm 63. We'll read the first 8 verses and then we'll back up and look at some characteristics here. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Here's what he's longing for. To see Thy power and Thy glory. So as I have seen, so it's something he has experienced in the past. So as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow, and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help. Again, another past experience. Therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. We see here, first of all, that a God-stirred heart has a personal knowledge, a personal realization, a consciousness of God. Of who God is. And that only increases the stirring. The more you know who God is, the more your heart is stirred. So there's a knowledge here, there's a realization, there's a consciousness of God. We see it in verse 1, O God. And again, that word O, an interjection. Speaks of emotion. O God, Thou art my God. His heart has been stirred. And he knows God. And there's a personal relationship. O God, again, you see that's all capital letters. He's referring to Jehovah. And then he applies it personally. Again, with those first two words, O God, there's a realization of God, who He is. Thou art my God, my Elohim. So there's a personal relationship. A God-stirred heart, there is a knowledge of God, there is a personal relationship with God. A God-stirred heart has a personal desire for God. There is an attraction to the Lord. When God stirs our heart, we desire Him. We are attracted to Him. And there is a preference for God. That is, we prefer God over all else. There is an inclination toward God. There is an enthusiasm toward God. We see that also in this first verse. Early, I believe that speaks of eagerness and priority. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now look at those words, soul and flesh. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. The heart has been stirred. There's a knowledge of God. There's a relationship with God. Now there is a desire. There is an attraction. There is a preference for God. And it's something that impacts his soul and his flesh. In other words, it is a desire that consumes his entire being. This isn't an individual who is trying to make some room for God in his busy life. This is an individual that is consumed with God. And that's what it means when God stirs our heart, we become consumed with God. It's easy to get consumed with a lot of things, but when God stirs our heart, we're consumed. He goes on to say, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now that's not merely speaking of the terrible condition of the world. Certainly that is implied. But that's not all that is being said here. It is also descriptive of the earnestness and the fervency and the passion and the urgency of his desire. Just as a land is thirsty and longs for rain, he is saying, my entire being is consumed with this desire for God. A God-stirred heart has a fervent desire to personally experience God in life. Notice again verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory. To see something is to experience it. To see thy power, thy influence, thy dominance. A God-stirred heart desires to experience the influence of God, the dominance of God, to see thy power and thy glory. His glory, of course, speaks of his beauty and his magnificence. The psalmist is saying, I long to personally experience the beauty and the magnificence of God. He says, I have experienced this in the past as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. So you see, past desire feeds future desire. Past spiritual experience, feeds the desire for a future experience. You and I have experienced God in the past. We have experienced fellowship with God. We have experienced His influence, His dominance, His beauty, and His magnificence. And all that does, or all it should do, is stir the heart to see more of it, to more personally experience these things. So a God-stirred heart is a heart that desires to personally experience God. A God stirred heart is not content with memorizing some facts, some attributes of God. A God stirred heart wants to experience the Lord. Now, is that to be an occasional thing? Of course not. That's to be an all the time thing. A God stirred heart. Again, from this we see that past experiences further stirs the heart. A God-stirred heart has a personal conviction that God is more suitable, more useful, more valuable, more beneficial than anything else, which again intensifies the stirring. He says in verse 3, because... So we see what he's longing for, to see thy power and thy glory. Because. This is why I want this. Because. Because thy loving kindness. So he knew something about the loving kindness of God. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. He doesn't just mention that it's better and then mention something specific about life. It's better than life. That includes everything that makes up life. God is better than life. So a God-stirred heart feels that God's better than anything else. Now, almost everybody will profess, a saved person will profess to believe that, but they certainly don't practice it. God is better than anything. That means when there's a so-called choice between God and something else, shouldn't be a decision to be made. God's better. I mean, if you really believe that. And a God-stirred heart believes that. A God-stirred heart has a, and we've seen this, the blessed life consists of a personal determination, a resolve, and purpose for God. Psalm 63 and verse 3, my lips shall praise thee. Heart that has been stirred by God wants to praise the Lord. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live, which again is another way of saying he wanted to praise God. He was determined to praise God. A God-stirred heart praises the Lord. He said, I will lift up my hands in thy name. Again, something he's determined to do. He says, my soul... So again, he's not just interested here in surface. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And he goes on to say, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice, there in verse 7. And again, that's based on a past experience. Because thou hast been my help. In other words, I have experienced the help of God. Therefore, because what I know by personal experience concerning God's help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings, that speaks of a nearness to God, will I rejoice. In other words, I'll be satisfied in God's presence. God-stirred heart has a personal faith in the sufficiency of God, believing that we will find full supply in God. Again, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My soul shall be satisfied. It's talking about the marrow and fatness. It's talking about feeding upon God, the very best. And the one whose heart has been stirred knows that they are going to find all that they need in God. And as we see here in verse 10, a God-stirred heart is, in Psalm 119, verse 10, but stay there in Psalm 63, a God-stirred heart is in pursuit of God, moves in the direction of God. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard, that is, diligently, energetically, persistently, enthusiastically, after thee. My heart followeth hard after thee, or my soul followeth hard after thee. These are the words of someone who is moving in the direction of God. A God-stirred heart will always move you in the direction of God. You may be moving in the direction of the hog pen, just like the prodigal son. But just as it was in his life, when God stirs your heart, you're going to begin to move. You're going to set your eyes toward God. A God-stirred heart always moves in the direction of God. And that is in spite of all difficulties and all obstacles that might lie in the way. Notice Psalm 42, how the psalmist expresses this. These are familiar verses. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, has the heart, not H-E-A-R-T, but H-A-R-T, talking about a deer. Has the heart panteth after the water brook. So he's drawing us a word picture here. Soul panteth my soul. Again, that's our inner being. After thee. And again, there's emotion there. O God. Soul panteth my soul after thee. A God-stirred heart pants after God. Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God. My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God. So he's expressing some knowledge that he has of God. He's a living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So he's talking about the presence of the Lord. So let's go back to Psalm 119, verse 10. The psalmist said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. As a result of God stirring in his heart, there's not merely a pursuit of what God bestows. This isn't someone who is just pursuing the blessings of God. This is someone who is pursuing God. We all like the blessings of God. But we are to pursue God. We are to pursue God. That's where the blessings are. We're not to get this backwards and pursue the blessings. We are to pursue the bestower of the blessings, the Lord. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart, I am seeking God. Again, with my whole heart implies that the heart has been stirred by God. And a God-stirred heart always moves beyond mechanical spirituality. It always moves beyond that. It always moves beyond a mere spiritual pretense. It always moves beyond mere spiritual appearance and formality. When God stirs the heart, we're not satisfied with the mechanical. When God stirs the heart, we're not satisfied with pretense or appearance or formality. We're interested in the reality of God. So, oh, how important it is To have a God-stirred heart. That ought to be our experience of life. We ought to know what that is. For God to stir our hearts. We see also in Psalm 119, not only does this God-stirred heart desire and seek God, but notice verse 40. Verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. After thy precepts. A God-stirred heart desires and seeks God. A God-stirred heart desires and seeks God's precepts. What are God's precepts? Well, it's a title for His Word. But it breaks down the Word of God into a particular aspect of His Word. It has reference to the principles of God. A God-stirred heart longs for the principles of God. It has to do with the rules of God. A God-stirred heart is interested in the rules of God. Most who profess Christianity today have absolutely no desire nor concern for the principles or rules of God. But a God-stirred heart seeks the principles of God, seeks the rules of God. It has reference to the doctrine of God or the teachings of the Lord. It has reference to the commandments of God, His precepts. And He says He longed after the precepts of the Lord. I have longed, I have. There it is again, personal experience. I have longed. I have done this. I continue to do this, He is saying. Psalm 119, verse 94, He says, I have sought thy precepts. I have longed after thy precepts. That speaks of the desire. I have sought. This speaks of the result of the desire. I have sought thy precepts. That is, a heart that is stirred by God seeks, what does God want me to do? What are the principles of God for these circumstances in my life? What are the rules of God for these circumstances in my life? What are the teachings of God? What are the commandments of God for these circumstances in my life? A heart that is stirred by God has a desire for the precepts of God, seeks the precepts of God. Why? Why do they desire the precepts of God? Why do they seek to be conformed? It is a desire for conformity to what God says. It is a desire for obedience to what God says. Nowadays, as soon as you even mention a commandment of God, a principle of God, well, you're legalistic. And we've already gone through this in Sunday school. They have no idea what the term even means. And as Brother Garner Smith used to say, I'd rather be legal than illegal. And that's true. Go ahead and call me legalistic. It doesn't matter. We can almost take that as a compliment today. By the way the world means it. Now, if they know what they're talking about, that's a different thing, but they usually don't. A God-stirred heart has an interest in the person of God, an interest in His Word, and a deep concern for compliance with God's Word. There's a desire to comply. Husbands and wives, moms and dads over children, when it comes to, for lack of a better word, decision making, it all should just boil down to one thing. What does God want? That's all that it is. Seeking God's will. A God-stirred heart is a heart for the Word of God. A God-stirred heart has a heart for the Word of God. God uses His Word, whether it be the preached Word, whether it be the read Word, the seen Word. God uses His Word to move in the hearts of the lost when He's working on them for salvation. He uses His Word to move the hearts of God's people. He uses His Word to excite, to inspire, and to provoke, and to arouse the hearts of God's people. That's what He's always used. That's what He will continue to use. If we get sidetracked from that and we have to create an excitement, and you can do that. You can create an outward excitement and it looks good from mere appearance, but God sees what it really is. But it all looks good, but I'm going to tell you something, it's going to wear off. And you're going to have to come up with something better. And man's good at coming up with something better, and he will, and guess what? It'll wear off again. And you're just constantly coming up with something better. But a God-stirred heart, God just uses His Word to stir the hearts of His people. In Luke chapter 24, verse 32, again, a familiar verse, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and they said one to another, they've completed their walk with Christ. Did not our heart burn within us? That's a stirring. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us? By the way, spending time with God will stir your heart. You can't spend time with God and not have your heart stirred. If we pray and our heart isn't stirred, we haven't prayed. We haven't spent time with God. You can't spend time with God and not be stirred. Not be affected. And while He opened to us the Scriptures, said our heart burned within us while He talked with us and while He opened to us the Scriptures. And every day you and I ought to open the Scriptures. And we've preached on that many, many times. But even more importantly, every day we need the Scriptures open to us by God Himself. And when God opens the Scriptures, I mean, it's easy for me to open this book, but when God opens the Scriptures, we're talking about something else now. And there's a stirring. There's a stirring in our heart. It makes us more active for God. A stirring in our heart makes us more active for God, which translates into a life for God. In closing, the blessed life is God and His Word working and functioning in our hearts. We've had that experience. Hopefully we have it every day. But we that are saved, we know what that means. For God's Word to work and function in our hearts. That ought to be our life. That ought to be our life. We're going to sin. We're going to fail. But we ought to have such a relationship with God that as soon as we do, our hearts are pricked. We feel the shame of it. And if you ever get beyond that, you're in a heap of trouble. It's God working and functioning in our thoughts. In our thoughts. We need to be careful what we put in these minds. There are a lot of things, of course, we can't help. You can't help but see some things in the world in which we live, but we need to make great effort at putting proper things in our minds. It's God-stirred thoughts. It's God-stirred memories A God stirred heart affects our memories. What is it that we remember? What is it that we remember? And I realize that everything that's put in these minds can come back in form of memory. But we ought to have wonderful memories of God, because we've experienced Him over and over and over and over again. We've had so many experiences of God. We've had so many experiences of God's Word that these ought to be in our memories. That's what our memories ought to be, soaked with these things. It's God working, God stirring our affections. We ought to be becoming less and less. It ought to be becoming easier. Day by day. Not to love this world. It ought to be getting easier. The truth is, if we have a right relationship with God, that's getting easier. It's not getting harder. It's getting easier to feel more and more a stranger in this world. Of course, as long as we have sinful flesh, there's always going to be a struggle. I'm not saying that the struggle ever disappears. That's not what I'm saying. It's God stirring our wills, so much so that we only want what God wants. We only want His will. So it is God working and functioning in our hearts, our thoughts, our memories, our affections, our wills, with such a vigorous and dynamic force that its influence sprouts forth in our life. That it bursts forth in our life. God's so stirring our hearts that it just bursts forth in our lives, causing us to live a thriving life for God. So with my whole heart have I sought Thee. With my whole heart. That is, a God-stirred heart is a common experience of the blessed life. It's a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful time when you can just be sitting in a chair, you can be doing whatever you do, just driving a car down the road or whatever, and God stirs your heart. What a blessing. That's the blessed life. It's God working and functioning in our hearts. So the blessed life is a heart for God. It's a heart for God. And it's a heart in tune with God, with His person, with His principles, with His rules. So you and I ought to thank God for all the experiences that we've had of God stirring our heart. And as you look back on those experiences, and hopefully you don't have to look back too far, hopefully you can just look back, you can look back right now at the present. But as you look at your experiences of God stirring your heart, that ought to stir your heart. The fact that God stirred your heart ought to stir your heart and give you a desire for even more. We ought to pray every day, God, stir my heart, move in my heart, move in my thoughts, move in my affections, move in my will. What a wonderful life you and I have. Life, physical life, is a gift from God. I believe all physical life is a gift from God. Again, the political correct thing today, all lives do matter because all lives come from God. It's a gift from God, and life's a wonderful gift. It's one of the most wasted. It is the most wasted gift that there is. But you and I have something even greater than physical life. We have spiritual life. And that's what enables us to be able to enjoy life to a degree that lost man knows nothing about. So God help us to live this life, and thank God that we can live this kind of life. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.